This is BTV, Business Television. Discover companies to invest in.
Coming up this week, mining, one of the oldest industries in the country, is poised to thrive. We visit copper and zinc in Peru, gold in the Yukon and Ontario, plus unveil a technology for the rapid extraction of lithium needed for electric vehicle batteries.
Hello, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Katerchak. Welcome to BTV Business Television.
On this episode, if you think mining is an old business, you're right, but it's incredibly relevant in our everyday lives.
For example, everything we use from cosmetics to construction requires metals and minerals.
And this week, we bring you stories from around the world that are exploring,
developing, and using new efficient technologies to unlock
and discover metals necessary for all of us to thrive and survive.
But first, mining analyst Rick Rule makes sense of copper.
The way that you and I live is energy intensive. And as the standard of living that you and I enjoy goes to the rest of the world, places like Chile, places like China, their demand for electricity increases, which means their demand for copper increases.
We may not think about it, but copper is found in items we use every day, like our fridges, our phones, and the wiring in our homes. This foundational metal is necessary in advancing our digital world. David Kelly is president and CEO of Chicana Copper, and they're not the first company to explore a unique project in the heart of Peru.
This is a discovery story. It's a different type of discovery story. It's not a discovery story of the very first geologist that walked on the property. It's the ideas that we brought to the project, the concept about how the breccia pipes formed, how deep they might be, what their shapes are, how to drill them out properly. And that's really been the success story with Soledad. It's got many attributes that one looks for a project that can be advanced quickly to put it, you know, into a production situation much sooner than you would see in a normal large, giant, low-grade copper project.
Exploration by previous companies identified numerous high-grade copper and gold-bearing pipes that crop out at surface. Now, under the direction of geology legend Doug Kerwin, Chicana is literally taking a new angle to exploring this cluster of mineral deposits.
Our chairman is a gentleman named Doug Kerwin. Doug is a world-renowned geologist. He was with Ivanhoe for about 15 years, multiple discoveries under his belt. Several of those discoveries have turned into mines.
Building on the knowledge of past drilling in the area, Chicana has done extensive geological and geophysical research and gained the confidence to drill aggressively, with phase one now complete.
We have documented that the breccia pipes are getting larger at depth. We've discovered a blind breccia pipe immediately adjacent to the first breccia pipe that we started drilling, and that's really huge for the project because it shows us that the erosion level has exposed some of the breccia pipes, but not all of the breccia pipes, and we expect to see more of that in the future as we continue to drill. When you look at the rocks themselves, I mean, the mineralization is absolutely spectacular. We're seeing some of the most spectacular mineralized breccias that I've ever seen in my career.
The Soledad project is located just 35 kilometers south of Barrick's fully operating Pierina mine and was optioned from Condor Resources.
We've done two expansions of the original Condor land position to pick up additional breccia pipes to the south, and then more recently we've done a deal with Barrick to acquire concessions south of the main Soledad project, which brings another cluster of mineralized breccia pipes to the project.
Senior mining analyst Ralph Aldis thinks Chicana could be flying under the radar.
They are drilling those pipes right now, putting out results. The market really isn't really that much aware of what they're doing in the thing, because a lot of people are not following exploration stories so closely right now. But this is the makings of something that I think could be very, very special.
Research and planning is critical, but David Kelly understands that discoveries come from action.
We've been fortunate to have a really strong commercial team behind us to help with the financing. We've raised $22 million since the start, and that's really given us the capability to be aggressive with the drill. And, you know, it's really through drilling that discoveries are made.
With an expert team at the helm and money in the bank, Chicana Copper is drilling for success in one of the world's most proven mining districts. Coming up next, why you need to think zinc.
Tinka has one of the largest, highest grade, undeveloped zinc deposits in the world.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. The demand for more infrastructure, electronics, and automobiles in emerging economies is steadily growing. But the same can't be said of the supply of one particular metal needed to meet that demand, zinc. That's where Tinka Resources comes in. And as far as company president and CEO Graham Carmen is concerned, not a moment too soon.
There's been a number of zinc mine closures around the world in recent years, with very few new replacement mines. So we believe our project is going to come to mine at the right time in the cycle, with very few new developments coming through. On the demand side, there's a steady demand in terms of galvanized steel for cars and so forth in China and in India.
High in the mineral-rich Andes Mountains of Peru, Tinka Resources is developing a zinc project they believe is poised to make a difference.
Tinka's primary focus is to advance as rapidly as possible its Ayahuelca zinc project in Peru. We are currently undertaking a resource expansion program to get our resource as large as we possibly can, as soon as we can.
Since Peru is already the second largest zinc producing country in the world, Ayahuelca isn't exactly a surprise. But Graham Carmen is quick to point out that this is no ordinary zinc deposit.
Tinka has one of the largest, highest grade, undeveloped zinc deposits in the world. Ayahuelca has an inferred resource of 42.7 million tonnes, grading 7.3% zinc equivalent. 80% of that zinc equivalent is zinc itself, with some additional silver, indium, and lead.
In 2017, a 15,000-meter drill program more than doubled the size of the resource. This year's results are looking equally positive.
In the 2018 drill program, we've already had the best drill intercept we've ever had. We are anticipating a significant extension in not only the resource tonnage, but also the grade of the deposit. Upcoming milestones will include a resource upgrade before the end of 2018, a preliminary economic assessment by early 2019, and also heading towards a PFS, most likely in 2019.
Of course, one of the considerations of a preliminary feasibility study will be infrastructure.
Ayahuelca has excellent infrastructure. We have a public road that goes right through the property. We are only 7 hours from the coast, 8 hours from a port, and there's a power line that goes right through the property. Peru has relatively low mining costs. We believe this project will ultimately be a low-cost producer and will be a long-term producer, being able to produce zinc through the cycles. There's some current market instability around the metals markets, but we believe this project will be immune to a lot of those concerns because of the quality of the project.
That quality isn't just about the zinc in the ground. With over 25 years of mineral exploration experience, much of it in Peru, Carmen is well aware of what it will take to make this project a success.
Tinka has a number of very strong fundamentals. We have a strong management team with success in Peru in the past. We have a very strong shareholder base with big institutions backing the company. Tinka's in a very strong position in terms of its financial position. We believe that the Ayahuelca project will be producing zinc by 21, possibly 2022. We're planning a feasibility in the next couple of years, and if all goes well, we believe we can be producing by 2022.
As the 100% owner of the 150 square kilometer Ayahuelca project, Tinka, as they say, is all in. Will the increase in supply make a difference? Only time will tell.
After the break, big production means big machines.
There's two of them. We've nicknamed them Beauty and the Beast.
And coming up later,
we're solving one problem, which is rapidly extracting lithium from brine. A year and a half process versus what we now do in 8 hours.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. We've been following this next coal company for nearly a decade. BTV caught up with the CEO on the go at the airport to get a progress report on Victoria Gold's Eagle Gold project, soon to be Canada's next gold mine in the Yukon.
Eagle's new development in the Yukon in production will produce 200,000 ounces of gold per year. First pour will be fall of 2019.
Victoria Gold is on track to uncover significant reserves, perhaps something even larger than expected, with an extended production life.
Eagle is currently just over 2 million ounces. We'll recover about 1.7 million ounces. But my gut tells me, based on my experience in the industry, that we'll probably be mining there for the next 20 to 30 years and produce over 4 million ounces at the end of the day.
Construction is well underway with a big focus on earthworks. That means more manpower needed for the job.
Victoria has few employees, but we have a number of contractors, and I think the total recently is about 350 in camp. We're adding about 50 people every 2 weeks right now, so by mid-September we'll be close to 450. They'll be working a rotational shift, so roughly 200 on site at any one time.
Big production means big machines, and Victoria Gold has some of the biggest in the Yukon.
Everybody's very impressed with the two shovels we had delivered recently and assembled. They are Caterpillar 60/40 shovels. There's two of them. We've nicknamed them Beauty and the Beast. About 2,000 horsepower V12 engines. They move about 40 tons of material with each scoop, so big stuff. We also have 11 trucks. They're 785s or 150-ton trucks. They're currently being assembled on site.
Even with the challenging weather conditions this year during construction, the bulk of the earthwork has been completed. Victoria Gold has started pouring concrete and erecting steel for the next phase of their project.
Now that we've been in a bull market in lithium for 4 years, you're starting to see processing capacity come on in spades. So my suspicion is that lithium will continue to be a good business for the people who are already in the business.
Speaking of lithium, leading our inevitable transition from fossil fuels to renewables is Vancouver-based MGX Minerals. They're putting in serious investments and innovation in the materials needed for batteries and the extraction of those metals using a cleaner technology. Let's take a closer look at this rising renewable energy company. Rising demand for lithium used in batteries is exceeding supply. Current lithium brine extraction methods use solar evaporation ponds that take over a year to process. MGX Minerals has developed a technology to rapidly extract lithium in just 1 day using efficient, clean technology.
Right now we're focused on industrial minerals, essentially battery commodities and advanced materials. But really the traditional production of lithium, majority of which is from brine, takes about a year and a half with relatively low recovery, usually below 50%, done in very, very large solar evaporation ponds, massive environmental footprint. We're solving one problem, which is rapidly extracting lithium from brine, a year and a half process versus what we now do in 8 hours in terms of production time.
The old industry of mining is making modern headway in environmental and technological efficiencies.
Mitigating the environmental footprint, I think it's key to any industry right now. Also, we're very focused on new processes that allow for the extraction of these commodities in a different way than was traditionally the case. So many of these commodities, lithium, cobalt, were really byproducts of other production.
These efficiencies have been made possible by an inventive Calgary-based company.
Pure Lucid is primarily a water treatment company. Our technology with respect to lithium recovery in the oil and gas space is both water treatment and mineral recovery or lithium recovery. In order to get at the lithium, we have to treat out most of the impurities that then allow us to deploy our molecular sieve technology. And then we move the treated water to the lithium recovery system.
We essentially supported them on the water treatment side, and they've supported us and helped us develop a lithium and mineral extraction. So it's really a tremendously robust partnership.
They have been instrumental in assisting us with the background and support to develop lithium recovery technology particularly, as well as financing some of our build out in the water treatment space.
Globally focused, MGX has opened additional offices in Chile and partnered with several companies to apply its lithium extraction technology to brines in the heart of the lithium triangle.
About 60% of global production of lithium comes from brine, the overwhelming majority of that in South America.
MGX is also addressing the irregular nature of wind and solar energy. They've patented a zinc air fuel cell, a unique flow battery technology using zinc and air as fuel to provide a reliable and cost-effective clean energy and storage solution.
I think we're very fortunate to have core technology that's widely applicable as part of a dynamic kind of new energy world that we're moving towards, the renewables world.
Recently, MGX announced the engagement of Dr. Mehta, a former technology leader at FMC Lithium, an $11 billion company, to oversee the commercial scale-up of the Rapid Lithium brine extraction technology. MGX certainly appears to be firing on all cylinders. You can find them listed on the CSE under the symbol XMG.
When we come back, can a failed gold mine spell opportunity?
If you're gonna go fishing for a big trout, you gotta find that nice deep hole in the lake. And I see this area as providing the opportunities that one would look for if they wanna get a big, big win.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. Most people only saw another failed gold mine north of Yellowknife up in the Northwest Territories, but not Dr. Michael Byron. With his mining experience in some of the most successful gold projects in Canada, including Lakeshore Gold, he saw a unique opportunity. So Nighthawk Gold consolidated 100% ownership of the 900 square kilometer Indian Lake property and the acquisition of the past producing Colimac Gold Project. Now, Byron's vision isn't to simply reopen a gold mine. It's to develop Canada's next gold camp.
If you're going to go fishing for a big trout, you've got to find that nice deep hole in the lake. And I see this area as providing the opportunities that one would look for if they want to get a big, big win. I tell people if you could envision the Abitibi Greenstone Belt, which is the real estate that houses the Red Lake Camp and the Timmins Camp, if you could picture that 100 years ago, that's kind of what I see when I walk, you know, throughout the Indian Lake Belt. It needs dollars spent, it needs exploration activity, but it's showing us as we do more work, it's showing us that those opportunities are there to be awakened, and that's an exciting thing to be involved in.
Unfortunately for the previous owners of Colimac, they overlooked what Byron could see, an asset that was geologically misunderstood, and that is proving to be a multi-million ounce project. One that has significant similarities to a world-famous gold camp.
The world's second richest Archean gold system is a differentiated mafic sill, and that's the Golden Mile Dolerite in Kalgoorlie, Western Australia. They missed it. And if they had found that, they would have been able to borrow 100 years of mining and exploration and development, and not to mention it's produced over 60 million ounces of gold to date, to use that as a footprint of exploration at Colimac.
But unproven theories don't build gold mines. Byron knows what's expected of Nighthawk.
Get the drilling results out that we've done this year, about 30 plus thousand meters. We've done a lot more metallurgical work showing us that we could get up to 98% recoveries on the higher grade material. We did some preliminary heap leach studies to see how the rock was amenable to a heap leach operation, which is becoming more and more prevalent in northern parts of the world. So that offered another opportunity that was not even considered when Colmac was in production in the 90s.
Heap leach technology would enable Nighthawk to process the lower grade material. And of course, as exploration continues, they're getting a clearer understanding of the opportunities and the challenges.
The challenge for us on a technical front is grade. Grade's king in the gold sector, so finding more grade in the Colmac system. We're confident that in the next resource update, we hopefully can make a 3 million ounce plus statement in that resource.
They've found 2.6 million ounces in resource so far. However, their real focus now is looking at high grade zones. They've got a number of targets there that have been drilled. They've got a large land package. So, you know, this thing could get significantly larger than what it is now.
Important as it is for Nighthawk to advance Colimac towards a build scenario, Michael Byron is also looking at the big picture.
For me personally, I would like to see the thesis that we incubated back in 2010 being that this is a gold camp and it's at its very earliest stages of evolution, that we can deliver on that. And if we can, all the rest of success will flow from that. Also, being successful in our satellite deposits and bringing those into the equation as part of a potential build in the future.
From the outset, what enticed Dr. Byron to consolidate the camp and invest in his future was the outlook of the supply of gold itself.
We've probably found the biggest deposit closest to surface, and that's pretty much a common theme that a lot of people are talking about. As that happens, I mean, there's going to be a lag in the production profile where there's not going to be enough future ounces to fill it. So putting together this land package was an attempt to address that.
Nighthawk's efforts to date have revealed new opportunities with high-grade discoveries, possible heap leach potential, and future growth through its satellite deposits. Sounds like a solid combination.
Next, Rick Rule shares one final tip you need to consider.
Concentrating your efforts on the high-quality people that have been serially successful in the past and slavishly ignoring everybody else is one key to success.
All companies in today's show validate that the metals market is necessary and investors need to pay attention.
And Canada is playing a key role globally with new projects coming on stream. But countries like Peru are also ones to watch.
Plus, modernizing extraction and processing technologies like MGX will prevail.
Thanks for joining us today. For BTV, I'm Jessica Kacherchak.
And I'm Taylor Tone. Until next time, may your portfolio prosper.
This is BTV, Business Television. Discover companies to invest in.
Coming up this week, cannabis. How this totally new market segment that's been capturing the imagination of investors continues to ramp up and diversify. Hello, I'm Taylor Tone.
And I'm Jessica Kacherchak. Welcome to BTV Business Television.
It's the final countdown to legalization of adult recreational cannabis in Canada.
And we're taking a look at the broad spectrum of the cannabis industry, medical and recreational, dry products and oils.
It's an industry that's a lot more innovative than you might think.
And there's at least one company you'll discover today that may surprise you.
But first, here's what one analyst has to say about the adult rec market that's about to open.
At the outset of the market, you know, those that have high quality product and can deliver according to expectations for their distribution and retail partners are going to be the winners.
From cars to smartphones, there will always be consumers that demand quality and are willing to pay for it. Since 2014, the Supreme Cannabis Company has been focused on this segment of the cannabis market. But will this strategy work moving into the recreational market?
There's been market research across this country showing that cannabis enthusiasts, A, are going to be the largest driver of spend in our recreational market, and B, that they're willing to pay a little bit more for something a little bit better, and that's what we deliver with Supreme. Our mission is to give that consumer, the cannabis enthusiast, exactly what they want.
And according to CEO John Fowler, high-quality cannabis is what this segment of the market wants. Supreme Cannabis plans to focus on the quality of the plants and their genetics.
We've been focused on the recreational market, we've been focused on flower, and we've been focused on quality since day one. Our cannabis business is based on three things. It's based on great people, strong technology, and strong inputs. From our senior management team to the operators in our facility, and we focus on our investments in inputs. So this business is driven by strong genetics, and I believe our genetic portfolio is second to none in Canada. We're currently operating a little over 100,000 square feet. We're adding to that capacity frequently, and we're looking forward to be completing all of our flowering rooms by the end of 2018, which will set us up for an annual run rate of 50,000 kilograms per year.
7 Acres is Supreme Cannabis's brand for recreational markets and was federally licensed in 2016. Named after a one-of-a-kind hybrid greenhouse in Kincardine, Ontario, this 340,000 square foot sun-powered facility was first launched as a business-to-business solution.
We've been successful this year in taking 7 Acres from a B2B brand in the medical space to Canada's first premium-focused brand. We're the only company in the country that's focusing purely on the premium market and delivering a brand through 7 Acres to cater to the cannabis enthusiast. It's distribution that's going to drive revenue, not just capacity or ability to grow. That means we sent our team out from British Columbia to PEI to get our products listed, because moving forward to list a new product, you have to bump someone else off the shelf. So as we add new strains and products, we're confident we can lever our understanding of the consumer and our revenue growth in each of the provinces to be more successful over time.
And analyst Robert Fagan agrees.
They've signed supply agreements with 6 provinces, coast to coast, which is really only a handful of other companies that have been able to do that. This will give them a presence for their products across Canada, which will certainly help them garner strong brand recognition. And I think that if you couple that with some of the supply agreements they have with other partners, that they have a very high likelihood of selling all of their production in the first year of legalized recreational sales, and it'll be a key advantage for them.
With a strong foothold in Canada's estimated $8 to $10 billion recreational market, John Fowler is now focusing on something even bigger.
The global medical market is estimated to be $100 to $200 billion, and we haven't taken our eyes off that. MediGrow is our first investment into the international space. It's an investment asset that allows us access to high volumes of high quality cannabis oil with GMP certifications over time, which will allow us to drive our export strategies as medical markets open.
And like every other consumer industry, John Fowler expects winners and losers.
I believe the winners in the cannabis industry, whether it's here in Canada or abroad, are going to be those that put the consumers first. This is a consumer industry at the end of the day, and having strong consumer insights backed with a supply chain that can deliver products those consumers want is the one and only recipe for success.
With recreational cannabis legalization set to launch later this year, Supreme Cannabis will be one company to follow closely. Their stock symbol, FIRE, on the TSX Venture, and SPRWF on the OTCQX.
Coming up next, a cannabis company that's never grown a single plant.
It all starts with a concentrate. So what we do here is we make concentrates.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. The cannabis sector has been trending higher and higher, with legalization in Canada fast approaching. In addition to medicinal use, the smokeless cannabis market represents a multi-billion dollar opportunity and is in the early stages of massive growth. Co-founder and VP of MediPharm Labs, Keith Strawn, explains the benefits of doing one thing really well.
When you look at the global market itself, a lot of that is led primarily in medical cannabis. So we have a huge opportunity based on our good manufacturing practices and having that recognized by other governments to really play in the medical global market. Now, having said that, which is important, is that we can very much participate in the recreational market. It all starts with a concentrate. So what we do here is we make concentrates. And we think that's where our strength really lies in the recreational market, is partnerships with existing brands where we are the active ingredient provider.
MediPharm Labs is the first company in Canada to become a licensed producer for cannabis oil production without first receiving a cannabis cultivation license. They have secured supply agreements for cannabis oil with several Health Canada approved cultivation partners to produce pharmaceutical grade cannabis oil with a competitive advantage.
A large part of our business is a white label solution. So imagine your brand powered by MediPharm. And by us really being a leader in the space of purified cannabinoids with accurate dosing, by us powering a brand for our white label partners, it really elevates them in the market, as well as makes use of their established customer base. Since being licensed on March 29, 2018, we've already brought in over 3,000 kilograms of dry cannabis in our inventory. That's the equivalent amount of what a small or medium-sized cultivator is growing in an indoor facility. When we look at, you know, are we able to sit on this horizontal supply chain where we're not growing, I think that we've proven that the answer is yes on how successful we've been on sourcing dry cannabis products.
An unparalleled processing expertise comes from a team of experts in pharmaceuticals, biomanufacturing, and healthcare delivery.
We're actually a pharma-grade facility. What's important and what makes us unlike a contract manufacturer in other industries is that we don't just put people into business, we go into business with people. We will get our formulators involved with their formulators and really launch a product that way.
MediPharm's focus on quality and purity aims to uphold Canada's reputation as a global leader in the cannabis industry.
We use advanced processes. Our equipment is not new in the way that it's been used successfully in other industries. We've taken from those industries and applied them here in a way that is automated at an industrial scale.
Even if they work at 25% capacity, MediPharm is projected to make $12 million quarterly in revenue, which puts them at par with some of Canada's top licensed producers. Led by a team with a proven track record of success using innovative extraction methodologies, MediPharm is creating their niche in the cannabis supply chain.
The fact that we are the first licensed by Health Canada solely for extraction, solely for concentrate production, positions us well to be one of those leaders. And it is really exciting to come to work every day knowing that you're developing an industry from scratch as an opportunity that we haven't seen kind of in the past few generations of, you know, global business.
The cannabis industry has opened a new chapter in the Canadian marketplace, and MediPharm Labs is poised to be a valuable participant as the sector matures.
After the break, what's happened to one company that's ventured beyond dried cannabis products?
They've been able to penetrate the market with about 60% of their sales derived from cannabis extracts.
And later, like all companies with their eye on the future, this CEO is well aware of the challenge ahead in the edible cannabis market.
To be able to infuse cannabis with the minimal amount of impact on the aroma and taste of the product.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. Legalization of recreational cannabis in Canada, coming very soon, will see many companies entering this new market with the hopes of being able to meet the demand by building inventory and brand recognition. As a federally licensed producer, CanTrust brings decades of industry experience in the medical market to the expanded recreational market. Analyst Neil Gilmer gives his take on what to expect up to and after legalization.
There's going to be a lot of enthusiasm, a lot of excitement. We've seen that in other markets. You'll see large swings intraday. You'll see large swings from day to day. So I think that it's important for an investor to make sure they're diversified.
With a variety of standardized products and its massive 450,000 square foot facility currently being expanded to 1 million square feet, CanTrust is poised to be a leader in the growing cannabis industry.
I think they grow a quality product. They demonstrated that indoor grows initially. They've subsequently moved to a greenhouse down in the Niagara region, and they've continued to demonstrate the ability to grow quality product with high yields and a very competitive cost structure. They've been able to develop subsequent products, not just dried flowers, moves into oils, moves into capsules and topicals, such that they've been able to penetrate the market with about 60% of their sales derived from cannabis extracts.
Neil Gilmer believes there's something more to being successful in this industry.
I think the management team has, you know, built a great company. I think they've got a good, solid experience and track record. I think they've formed an excellent team around that. CanTrust has developed a very solid growing environment. They've learned over the years how to develop processes, to develop quality products. I think they're being very innovative on the product front. I think they're doing a lot of research on the product front to bring alternative products to the market. I think their partnership with Apotex furthers that product development and brings to them, you know, another outlet on the pharmaceutical side.
Setting new industry standards for product excellence and cost effectiveness, CanTrust will soon have their innovative products available to Canadians coast to coast.
You can't turn on the news these days without hearing about the cannabis legalization in Canada. Wayland Group is one of the original licensed producers in Ontario, and in just 5 years, the company has grown from a 2-acre property to a 217,000 square foot fully integrated facility, and they're expanding. Ben Ward, CEO of Wayland Group, explains the company's strategic plan for growth.
When we started this facility, we took a different approach. We went through the process of how can we create a facility that creates long-term operational efficiencies and will be sustainable over the long period of time. Our operation allows us to produce cannabis at an ultra-low cost because we have lower labor requirements, our electricity is lesser cost, and we have water from the local region that we are able to pump for no cost. We need 1.5 million liters of water a day, but we use that water and recycle it and then regain and recapture the nutrients, as well as capturing all of the water from our roof. We'll only produce 10,000 liters of wastewater a year. That's one of the ways that we're making our business environmentally sustainable.
In addition to sustainability practices, Wayland Group is working with stores like IDA, Guardian, and Uniprix. There are huge benefits to partnering with pharmacy operators on a consumer level.
What that does is provides patients with an elevated level of service for their counseling in cannabis, where pharmacists are trained and educated and certified to become patient counselors and educators. So pharmacists can recommend cannabis to patients who may have issues with opiate addiction and can use cannabinoid replacement therapy as an option for their treatment.
In light of Canada's soon-to-be-opened recreational market, Wayland Group made the conscious decision to preserve inventory to meet demand.
We're very well positioned for the recreational market in Canada, having near-term supply online, and we have secured agreements with British Columbia, Alberta, Manitoba, and Ontario to supply our high-quality cannabis products to the provinces.
But will having reliable cannabis sources put customers at ease?
I think that the recreational market is going to be bigger than anyone has imagined. Getting cannabis today, if you're doing it through the gray market, you have to know someone who has a product, and then you don't know what you're getting. I think when you have a consistent, reliable product that you can gain in an easy way, that access is available, I think that we'll see an explosion of cannabis demand far beyond what we've seen published in numbers from different analysts to date.
Wayland feels ready to meet that demand with their multi-patented delivery system, which ensures optimum absorption of their products. And the company is established overseas with operations in Germany and Switzerland.
One of the real advantages we have is that we're already producing in the European market, which means we have product that's on shelves that people can purchase now. So our brands can be established and can move into a position of first mover advantage. No one else has the type of production that we do in Europe at present.
Their hard work is paying off. Two large bulk supply orders completed during Q2 of 2018 gave the company a significant increase in revenue.
We've taken the time to get it right. We brought in experts from around the world who have experience in executing and building cannabis businesses. We are focused on delivering ultra low cost raw material and putting that into a high efficiency delivery mechanism. And we're working with major pharmacy distributors and working globally with EU GMP certification.
Passionate about the power of cannabis, Wayland Group is committed to advancing healthcare in Canadian and European markets.
When we come back, why someday, when you're thinking of reaching for a cold one or what to pair with pizza, you might choose cannabis.
We believe that a cannabis-infused wine or beer is actually a safer and healthier alternative than those with alcohol.
We'll be right back. You're watching BTV.
Welcome back to BTV. Finally, a great tasting beer you can have for breakfast. That's right, you heard correctly. Award-winning Hill Street Beverage Company started its business by creating alcohol-free products for the designated driver. But the company soon discovered people were choosing their beverages for other reasons. We caught up with the CEO and chairman of Hill Street, Terry Donnelly.
Consumers are really looking to moderate their alcohol intake, really for a variety of health reasons. It's an incredibly fast-growing business because a lot of people really enjoy the taste of wine and beer, but they don't enjoy the effect that comes with it, or it interferes with their medication.
Enjoying a glass of wine or cold beer with friends or family is part of our culture. But for those seeking healthier options, Hill Street provides a variety of alternatives to meet consumer demand.
We produced the world's first alcohol-free craft beer. We've won numerous awards around the world for those products, and we want to continue to focus on innovating in the sector to create products that have unique taste profiles that meet the most discerning consumer tastes.
Building on previous success, Hill Street has realized the potential in the cannabis-infused beverage market.
Cannabis-infused beverages make a ton of sense for us because we make great-tasting alcohol-free wine and beer. And in order for you to make a cannabis-infused wine or beer, it's got to be alcohol-free first to begin with. Our goal is to really mimic the level of intensity, the level of intoxication that you would get from a single beer or a single glass of wine with a single beer, single glass of infused wine. We believe that a cannabis-infused wine or beer is actually a safer and healthier alternative than those with alcohol.
Hill Street currently has beverages available in about 4,000 stores across Canada. Looking to the future, Terry Donnelly explains the benefits of co-packing.
It's actually a little known fact that most of the craft beer and wine that's produced actually comes from major co-packers. Our wine comes from Belgium, from a great company in Belgium that's got a world-class facility there. And our beer is made by a couple of different brewers that we've chosen to be able to produce products that meet our expectations. We're actually retrofitting this facility here at VinFirst in St. Catharines through our partnership with them to begin to produce our own products in-house according to the recipes and the formulations that we've developed over the last number of years.
With hundreds of craft breweries and boutique wineries producing quality beer and wine in Canada, the question is, how will the industry as a whole evolve?
One of the things that we're doing to address that is building a really significant co-packing capability for all of those wineries and breweries that are making great craft beer and boutique artisanal wine, for them to be able to come to us, to have a great tasting product made in our facility, to have it processed by the patented technology that we've licensed to be able to infuse cannabis with the minimal amount of impact on the aroma and taste of the product. And that's something that we think really helps to set us apart in the marketplace.
The company raised nearly $7 million through two private placements in 2018 and is currently focused on investing in the cannabis space. Hinta Chambers is Hill Street's CFO.
We're in a good position, and you know, in a growing company, it's important, and you are cash constrained in those first couple of years, but we're going to make sure that we've got the cash necessary to execute the strategy.
When companies that produce traditional alcoholic drinks explore their cannabis options, they're competing with the rise of cannabis-infused beverages. But without any alcohol-based beverage revenue to lose, Hill Street offers a unique opportunity during the end of cannabis prohibition. Hill Street Beverage Company trades on the TSX Venture Exchange under the memorable symbol, beer.
Before we wrap up, a reality check on investing in the cannabis sector.
Traditional valuation metrics may not perfectly apply to cannabis industry and the sector valuations. Some investors may think that cannabis stocks are expensive at a certain point. Using a traditional valuation metric, it could end up to be inaccurate in terms of where the stocks can actually move. So it's a difficult sector to value.
While it may be a difficult sector to value, you can't ignore the facts.
The cannabis sector is here to stay. That's why many investors are totally convinced that, as the song goes,
you ain't seen nothing yet.
Thanks for joining us today. For BTV, I'm Jessica Kacherchak.
And I'm Taylor Tone. Until next time, may your portfolio prosper.